Senator.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, I want to go back to China and Taiwan, and had this listed as something I wanted to talk about, but I didn't get into it the way that I wanted to. And as China is watching as senators push for more support for Ukraine and Taiwan, the Chinese are really focusing, paying attention on what's being said. Two senators on Sunday urged the Biden administration to go further in its support for both Ukraine and Taiwan as U.S. tensions with China bubble up after, you know, Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. In an appearance on CNN's State of the Union, Senator Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat and Republican, backed the House Speaker travel to Taiwan, tied the two foreign policy issues together, warning that China is watching how the U.S. continues to respond to Russia's attack on Ukraine as the war nears its sixth month. Graham directed his message directly at China and pushed for the passage of the Bipartisan Taiwan Policy Act, which is aimed at bolstering Taiwan economically and militarily. So, Sandy, don't we have enough trouble?
Well, I think we do, and I think again, like I was saying earlier, this is all about domestic politics, and it's a domestic politics that is not educated by or informed by our actual foreign interests and the real strategic foreign interests we have, as well as the historical actions we've taken with respect to our international relations with a country like China. China's a very major country, and we're tinkering with it like it's not. Russia is a major military power in the world, and we were tinkering with it like it's not. In the way we dealt with Ukraine, for instance, and now with the way we're dealing with Taiwan. Both of them have some similarities. Taiwan, we have recognized it unofficially with deliberate ambiguity in the One China policy as being part of China. We keep talking about it as if it's an independent country. We've never recognized it as an independent country. We've always said that its status is unresolved, which was a way of saying it's not clear exactly how it's going to become a part of China, but it's a part of China. And yet we do these things, and domestically we treat it like it's a foreign country. China is going at some point to absorb Taiwan in the same manner that it is in some manner absorbing Hong Kong.
And we can't do anything to stop it.
Well, not only can't we, but why should we? Why should we? And really, why would we? And the only reason we would is if we decide domestically it's somehow a measurement. We had a caller last week who wanted to talk about the Nancy Pelosi in a sort of a profane manner as to what kind of a private part she might have as compared to Biden. And it was all about the machismo of our domestic policy when we talk about such things as Ukraine or Taiwan, because we're always talking about us against them. You know,
yes.
China and us. We got to win it. It's like the NFL. We got the San Francisco 49ers, China. We got Russia. Those are the Bears. And we in Green Bay got to make sure we whip both of them, you know. And that's sort of the way the country is dealing with these discussions. But we have a long history with China. And that history is one that involves this 1979 treaty, which we've kind of stepped back from unilaterally along the way, and more recently have accelerated the rate at which we step back from it. The same thing that we were doing with respect to Russia, not with respect to a written treaty, but with respect to unwritten understandings. It also has to do with hegemony, this notion that there is a geopolitical power that relates to China and relates to Russia. And our domestic politics seems to want to ignore that. We want to ignore this notion of hegemony other than for us, which we're willing to exercise all over the world. You know, everything is within our hegemony. Nothing is within China's or Russia's. And the fact is that when we treat them that way, we are poking the bear, and we're creating exactly the kind of reaction which we expected. We knew that China was going to react in a significant manner to a visit from Nancy Pelosi, and we did it anyway.
Yeah, well, they warned us.
They told us.
Yeah, and when you look at the impact of what the message that they are sending, they certainly, as we stated earlier, are sending a message to America, but they're scaring the bejesus out of Taiwan. Can you imagine?
Well, you know, Taiwan lived under an autocratic rule until essentially 2019. They're probably happier with the kind of democratic rule they have right now. But quite frankly, the last thing in the world they want is war. And I suspect if you went to Taiwan and said, here you have these options. You can get rolled into China and be dealt with as if you were Shanghai, or you can have a massive war to defend your status as Taiwan. I suspect most of the Tom, Dick, and Marys in Taiwan would say, "Yeah, we'll be Shanghai. That's okay. Shanghai is not such a bad situation. Shanghai is the biggest city in China, and Taiwan would be a major province of China." And I think if you went to Tom, Dick, and Mary in Ukraine, you might find out the same thing. Right now, they're finding out that there are lots of people that the wartime Ukraine is calling collaborators, but in the peacetime they would be called dissidents, political dissidents.
So, Sandy, we are saying to them, you need to ramp up your military. This is what we're saying. Graham directed his message directly at China and pushed for the passage of the Bipartisan Taiwan Policy Act, which is aimed at bolstering Taiwan economically and militarily. What would be the point?
Well, isn't that convenient for the military-industrial complex of America? Because, let's face it, when Taiwan bolsters itself militarily, who do they buy weapons from, and who does that bolstering?
Sandy, it just comes to a point where there's no reason for Taiwan to bolster itself militarily. Who are they worried about? If anything happens with China, there's no way they're going to be able to bolster themselves militarily to deal with China. That's the only entity that they have to be worried about militarily, correct?
That is absolutely correct. And and the fact is that the more we create this potential hostility with China, the more aggressive China can be or can rationalize being with respect to the whole South China Sea. You know, they're clearly trying to set themselves up to defend themselves against something. Who in the world could they possibly be worried about defending themselves against?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And again, all of these things, and Sandy, it's why it's so valuable to have you on and talk about these national and international things that we many times either too busy in our lives to be focused on, or we just don't think there's anything that we can do about it.
Well, you know, yes, and you know, we pat ourselves on the back for being the most powerful country in the world, but we forget then that I've said it earlier, this sort of Newtonian principle of for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. The world is watching what America does very closely, because we are the biggest gorilla on Earth right now. And so when we do something that's hostile in the direction of a near gorilla, a Goliath like China, they take notice, right? And their whole concept politically within and geopolitically and sociologically within China is, why is the United States acting like that? What could they possibly have in mind? And if the shoe was on the other foot, we'd be thinking the same way.
Yes.
And we are thinking the same way.
So, Sandy, if you're looking at globally, if you're looking at this little population of people, the United States, a speck on the global, you know, map, not land mass-wise, but just people.
Yeah, 5%.
Yeah. And you're saying, hey, look at these people. What are they talking about? They're the most aggressive nation on the earth.
United States.
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody outside of our nation knows that. Except for the people inside of our nation, unfortunately, who don't want to look at that. And then because if you really look at that, then you would question what we keep doing. But we don't want to look at that, right?
Well, you know, a guy on the another guy on an airplane had a conversation with me. At the end of it, he said, because I was having sort of this kind of a conversation about China and how the China's economic trajectory was clearly going to lead them to the top of the heap.
Right.
And he said, yeah, just that, you know, you need to think about what will you feel like when the world is dominated economically by a country like China? I said, I don't know. How do you think Norway feels in a country that's dominated by the United States? I said, they do just fine. You know, I'm not sure it's a problem, but the only answer he had for how do you stop the domination of China was military, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what worries me. I think the United States is hell-bent to exercise its muscle, and it's all for fear of economic loss of economic domination.
And the rest of the world sees it that way, too. They see it the same way you and I see it, and that's their fear.
Yeah,
and that's why they're doing what they're doing. All right, got to run, and then we say, don't let Iran get a nuclear weapon. We can't let them get a nuclear weapon. And the American people say, yeah, no nuclear weapons for Iran. You can't have any. Got to go. Thanks for making the show go. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Sandy. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. I'll be doing a live remote tomorrow evening. And we'll let you know. See you later. You know those, Sandy.
Your man cheating on you hurts to be alone. But you gotta keep keeping on. I know you find a way out.